Have you ever gotten anything on Craigslist that would have been worth someone stealing your penis and putting it in a blender?
I did get that Gates of Hell big box, so yes.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another shitty Saturday night. I'm Josh Hadley. With me, as always, is the cat who hopefully will make this night not so shitty.
I make no promises. I'm here with you guys.
That's fair. Michigan J Frog is back.
Couple of goddamn downers, man. Cheer up, you guys.
No.
Not all of us can be on drugs, Charlie.
Well, okay, fair enough.
But you all, what you can be is on a sex toy, or a sex toy can be on you, I guess, technically, too. You go to adamandeve.com, you use the promo code WHAT, and you would get 10 free gifts on top of whatever, I guess, is on top of you. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, and free U.S. shipping. How can you not use the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com? Come on, guys, relax. A prostate orgasm, you'll be relaxed for a week, right, Charlie?
Oh, yeah. And may I add that you were like the Venice Beach cop of podcasting because you are a surgeon on a Segway?
Not really. Let's get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I actually have two things here, and I wasn't sure which one to go with. Now, last week we were picking on Charlie about having a Taco Bell down the block and how he might be the Akron, Ohio car pooper, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's clearly not your face. The guy has much better hair than you. Charlie, have you ever
I have much better poop, so fuck that guy.
Have you ever taken a shit so bad that you caused a British Airways flight to be turned around?
No, I never have. Although I've never been on a British Airways flight, so for me to take a shit so bad that it causes a British Airways flight to turn around, that would be some impressive shitting.
Nuclear radiation.
This is really what happens when you get bit by a radioactive spider, people.
Like someone on a British Airways, like a pilot, is almost there, and they're like, wait. This guy in Colorado just took a shit. You would not believe. We have to turn around, you guys.
Well, what happened was a British Airways flight from Heathrow to Dubai was turned around after 30 minutes of its 7-hour flight because somebody took a shit so bad that the smell was permeating through the entirety of the plane and they had to turn around to get the toilet cleaned. The pilot actually went back to see what the problem was, and I quote, "It was filled with liquid fecal excrement." I don't know if whoever laid that giant liquid turd, I think they should just come out with their name and they should get their own porno movie, because that is some, no pun intended, serious shit.
I just want to know what that person ate so that I never eat that.
I mean, if it was coming from Dubai, maybe Dubai food, but they're coming from Heathrow.
It was so, airline food, am I right, people?
Yes. Like, I actually feel bad for this person, because what if they have a legitimate medical problem, like irritable bowel syndrome or something that makes them that way, and it's not really their fault, and I just feel terrible for them, but I really feel terrible for everyone else too.
I do understand what you're saying there, but I'm thinking more like they should try and weaponize this and sell it to the government if it's that bad.
It's just, that'll be like, nobody will ever have to like dive a plane into a building ever again. They'll just like have this person on there who just takes enormous shits, and that'll be the worst thing ever.
Drop a shit bomb.
Shit bomb.
I can't believe planes are not built with something like this in mind. Like, this was a smell so bad that aircraft engineers did not plan for it.
Yeah, like that's exactly it.
It's their job to plan for every possible catastrophe, and they did not think a human being would be able to produce a smell like this. And this is one of the stories that I actually read, because not only did you send it to me, but John Brown posted it on Facebook as well, because like everybody thought it was fake. And when I read it, I was picturing the Golgothan from Dogma hijacking a plane, and it gave me a great day.
All right, the other one I had vying for dumbest thing, do you know that it's not technically illegal to masturbate into your coworker's coffee? I was picturing this. If 1201 Beyond were like an office environment, of course, Kat would be the only one who actually did any work. But this would be Charlie, a woman named Pat Maz. For 6 months, she was wondering why her coffee didn't taste right. She thought it had just spoiled. And then she caught her coworker jacking off on her desk and into her coffee mug. And then She, of course, called the police, and then it turned out there's no law on the books that says this can't happen because technically masturbation is not sex, so it is not a sex crime, so there is no law on the books that, quote, covered the behavior.
Surely HR will have something to say about the incident, but...
Well, I'm sure HR will, but I mean, on a legal basis, this was not illegal what this guy did to her coffee.
It's as illegal as spitting into someone's coffee, just a lot more thorough and
disgusting,
requiring a greater level of commitment, because as you guys know, it takes a really long time to jerk off while you're giggling. You gotta want it, you know what I'm saying?
The Minnesota legislature is now actually having to pass a bill that requires masturbating into people's foodstuffs illegal.
Well, I mean, you know what? There has to be an origin of all laws, and there's this one.
The way it's actually worded, if you put your bodily fluids into someone else's food, that would count as criminal sexual conduct. So it would be a sex crime to masturbate on somebody's food. Have we gotten to the point where we actually needed a law on this, or was that just common sense before?
Clearly not common enough.
Well, okay, nothing is common sense anymore. I think we can just bear that in mind as a general rule. But I was going to ask you, why in this hypothetical scenario of yours was I jerking off into Cass coffee? Like, why would it be me? I would never do that.
It just seems like something that you would do. It seems kind of Charlie-esque. And since Kat would be the only one at 1201 that actually took her job seriously, she'd be the one you'd want to get revenge on. And then I would be the one saying, work it out yourself.
No, I don't know. I think best case scenario, given my own code of ethics, I would be jerking off into your coffee, and I would provide Kat with pictures for her to look at or not to look at. It is up to her.
I would be the one in HR going, dudes, I don't care.
Work it out yourselves. Why do you think we built the arena in the middle of the cafeteria? Star Trek music starts playing. That's how HR should handle inter-office disputes. Arena style.
Whichever one of us jerks into coffee faster gets to survive.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
The one who did not finish is finished.
I didn't think people still did this, but in Colorado, Charlie, you probably saw this on the local news, a woman answered a Craigslist ad for baby clothes. When she showed up, this 26-year-old woman was attacked. She was attacked by a crazy person who stabbed her and then cut the fetus out of her stomach and tried to take it with her. People really do this shit in Colorado? I thought you guys were all, like, docile from being high.
Some of us are. Not enough, though, because I did hear about this. I was, like, compelled with this shit because it was, at the time when I saw it, it was not yet determined whether she was, like, involved with some kind of satanic cult. If she was just deranged, like, unto herself, because she was, like, a nurse, right? Like, a medical technician who performed, like, a forced cesarean section on this lady.
She wanted a baby so bad she was going to steal one. And, by the way, the baby ended up dying, and the 26-year-old woman who had the baby cut out of her is still in critical condition and could die.
Right. Jesus Christ, this is fucked up.
Really terrible. I'm really, like, not even happy that we're talking about it, because kind of just like I'm having like uterus empathy or something. Like it's sort of like when men watch a video of a guy getting kicked in the balls, it's like you just sort of clench up and you go, that's kind of how I feel right now. Like,
specifically because of this incident and other incidents, like there was that couple in, I think it was Florida, who went to buy a car on Craigslist and were murdered. And because of all the Craigslist debauchery, Green Bay, Wisconsin, the police came up with a solution. I don't know if it'll work. You can use our parking lot for Craigslist transactions. It's monitored, and we will be there. You can come in and have an officer stand there while you sell your wares from Craigslist in the Green Bay Police Department parking lot.
That is awesome.
That's great.
Unless you're doing, you know, some of the sexual shit that you're buying on Craigslist, if you're just buying baby clothes or comic books, that is a really good solution, actually. That's actually cool of the cops to go, you can use our parking lot if you want.
Because we don't want you guys to die. It's too much work for us.
It's extra paperwork for us, so it's just easier to do it in our parking lot.
Keep the security camera footage, because some of that will be amongst the most valuable on the internet.
obviously, like, if you're getting the weird sex shit off of Facebook, you know, the men seeking men and seeking trannies and stuff, you're probably not going to want to do that in the police parking lot. Kind of counterintuitive. Do you think people are going to actually take the Green Bay police, or if other departments start adopting this, do you think they're actually going to take them up on this?
Absolutely. And it won't be like the kinky stuff or the sexual stuff. It'll be like the soccer moms picking up baby clothes and, you know, old people trying to buy a new car off of Craigslist. I mean, that's what we're going to see, I think.
Do you think this will have a positive impact on Craigslist? If you're doing something untoward, that'll be the telling point. I want to meet in the police parking lot. No, I'd rather meet behind the Walgreens. No, deal's off. I mean, that'll make Craigslist safer.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly your red flag of you don't want to meet in the safest place you can possibly meet. You must not want this to be a safe situation. I don't need to buy your baby clothes.
Anything that reduces the incidence of dealing people's goddamn fetuses, I'm all for.
The Green Bay Police Department said, quote, "If we have the capability here to monitor our parking lot 24/7, then it's something we need to share with our community to let them learn that there's a safe public place where they can conduct these transactions at all hours."
I think it's a good idea.
"Once they're victimized once, I think they learn that it's worth taking the extra step to go the extra mile coming to the local police department." I absolutely agree with that. I think that I'm kind of happy this is happening in Green Bay. This is right near me. I'm kind of happy that this is the tipping point.
I think most cities should do this. But I think on a broader scale, I think most adults should just live by the rule. Don't respond to ads on Craigslist. Just don't.
Okay, that's not fair. I have actually gotten quite a few great VHS lots on Craigslist. I have bought comic books on Craigslist. I have sold many things on Craigslist, all without having had a fetus cut out of me or having been raped.
Have you ever gotten anything on Craigslist that would have been worth someone stealing your penis and putting it in a blender?
I did get that Gates of Hell big box, so yes.
Well, okay, fair enough. But that's the exception to the rule. Okay. I stay the fuck away from Craigslist because that shit terrifies me, because people are crazy and Craigslist has just given people an outlet for that.
I agree with St. Charlie in his holy words of stay the fuck away from Craigslist.
All right. Maybe I like living on the edge. Okay. Speaking of getting weird or not getting weird, the internet has finally done it. Strip clubs in Canada are being forced to close because they're not getting enough business.
Oh.
People are not going to strip clubs enough because they're jerking off at home and they've got the internet. So Canadian strip clubs, there has been a rash of strip club closings due to lack of business. That's sad.
Tell me the Brass Rail did not close.
The one in the article we're talking about is the Cheetahs Show Lounge in British Columbia.
Oh, Los Angeles has a Cheetahs Lounge. I've been to that one. Well, just with a little bit of factual accuracy, if I may. Cheetahs, well, it's very loosely defined, a strip club. It's neither bottomless nor topless. It's just dancing, pretty much.
Well, not in Canada. This one specifically has nude dancers, they say.
Well, okay. Yeah, I know Canada plays by a different set of rules when it comes to that.
So, Kat, as the one of the three of us who wouldn't frequent a strip club, does this surprise you at all?
You know, it kind of does, because although porn is on the internet is free, everybody likes the real thing better. You know, isn't it more exciting or more fulfilling to go and see something in person? Hence why baseball is actually worthwhile when you're going to a game, but when you're sitting there watching it on TV, you're like, I'm fucking bored. I would think that there would still be a market with people just wanting the real McCoy, but I guess not.
Within the last 10 years, Toronto alone has lost 63 strip clubs. And I'm thinking, come on, these poor girls can't afford clothes. Just look at them. You guys need to help these girls out. They're working women. I'm going to quote from the owner of the Cheetahs Lounge. "It seems that young Canadian males are more distracted with other types of interests. Game Boys, plugging in things, and so on. And it's almost as if the young women are the ones bringing them out to the clubs now." Unquote.
Canada, you are adorable.
Never change. Never change.
Game Boys, huh? What is this, 1990? Plugging in things. Well, that's part of what happens at the strip club.
Depending on how much extra you want to pay.
You know, in Canada, they're always so nice. I wonder what a Canadian strip club bouncer would be like. "Sir, I'm going to ask you again. Will you please leave?" "No. All right, get this man another free drink." They're just so nice there.
Should we take this outside, eh?
Would you like to use these gloves? I noticed you didn't bring any of your own. It's okay. It's fine.
Do you think this is a turning point between virtual porn and real porn when a strip club can't stay open anymore? Or do you think this is just a Canadian thing? This could never happen in America, right?
I think if we saw some statistics out of the U.S. about closing strip clubs, then I would be a little more concerned. Maybe it's just Canada trying to live up to its sterling reputation. Who knows?
How about we close out this segment with Muncie, Indiana, and the meth lab in a Walmart bathroom. A Muncie, Indiana Walmart was closed when the security guard noticed a very jittery-looking person with a backpack full of chemicals going in and out of the bathroom. They were using the Walmart bathroom to set up a meth lab in one of the stalls. Really? We've gotten to this point? Or is it more like, it was Walmart, I'm surprised it took this long?
Well, see, I've actually seen news, and I don't know if it was out of my area or not, of a meth lab, like a portable meth lab, being set up in an aisle in a Walmart. Like, they didn't even have the courtesy to go to the restroom where it could be easily cleaned up. They were, like, in the middle of some Twinkies or something.
The news story I saw on this from a local Muncie affiliate said that these chemicals, if they exploded, could have taken out the entire front of the Walmart. That these meth dealers, these meth cookers, were so callous that they were literally willing to risk the lives of men, women, and children so they could fucking cook meth at a Walmart. When they were asked why they did this, I didn't want to blow my own house up. Is that just a callous disregard? Fuck it, I'll blow up innocent people, but I'm not having my Xbox wrecked. What the fuck?
Well, on the one hand, I wouldn't be sad if Walmart was destroyed, but on the other hand, that could actually kill innocent people.
I think this is the dark side of big box shopping, America. I mean, it seems really convenient, but everything you need to make crystal meth is available at Walmart. They would not have been able to do that if we weren't such fucking whores for convenience.
I don't know. I'm actually a little less mad at the meth lab set up in there and more mad at the callousness of, I don't want to blow up my own stuff. That I will blow up Walmart and kill innocent children before my shit gets blown up, but I'm still going to cook meth. That actually angers me more.
And I don't understand how they thought they were going to get away with it. I have never cooked meth before, and I've never really watched shows that heavily feature people cooking meth, so I don't know how long it takes. But I would assume that when you're cooking it, that it actually takes, I don't know, like a couple hours or so?
It takes longer than that, but there's also many odors. Let's just say, if you've ever had a meth lab in your neighborhood, you know the smell. We had somebody set up a meth lab at a hotel down the block from me. The entire block stunk of an odor that I've never done meth, but I can only assume is what meth smells like. They had to have a hazmat team clean the entire hotel just to be safe, because the chemicals were seeping into the paint on the walls. That's some sad shit, isn't it?
That's it's certainly just like a complete and utter disregard for anyone else. But then again, you're dealing meth, so you already have to have that.
Maybe they should just stop making the places open 24 hours.
I don't know if that's really to stop the meth people or... Well, hey, maybe the meth people could go to the Craigslist ads to get their chemicals. Police parking lot, just cut it all in half, right?
Is it still cleansing if they're just taking each other out?
Sweet to eat on Halloween and New Year's Eve. Yankee girls, you just he's in hell at the seventh veil. Have you read the news in the Soho Tribune? Yeah, no, she didn't me. Well, then she broke my heart. I'm such a good, good boy. I just need a new toy. You know the one I mean.
Welcome to Heart Attack, folks. I am Hart D. Fisher, and this week we're kind of having a bit of a grab bag. Me and Josh have been off the air trying to discuss what we should talk about. Man, we just came off of recording an amazing hour-long Heart Attack tackling some very difficult subject matter and stuff that I think when people debate the transgender issue, I do not believe they have discussed it in the manner that Josh and I talk about it. I urge everybody to listen to it. And oh yeah, folks, we have a GoFundMe.com campaign for Jackalope Radio. We've been doing this a long time. Folks know, like, if you listen to PBS, they do their fun pledge raise thing all the time, every fucking year. You've never had that happen at Jackalope until now. We need to get some new gear for the network. You probably noticed the archives are not updated. Shows have been dropping from rotation, ours included. We also have some new licensing issues to deal with. There have been changes in copyright law. So now when we repost on something like SoundCloud, we have to pay a secondary licensing fee to be able to play these radio songs because they're really trying to shut down podcasting, aren't they, Josh?
Podcasting, I think, is growing into what they consider a dangerous place. Because, yeah, you've got the really bad, you know, there's always going to be more bad than good. But then you've got major people like Kevin Smith and Henry Rollins and John Waters that are doing podcasts that are talking about things that they don't want talked about.
I'm going to say fuck Kevin Smith, Joe Rogan. Kevin Smith's a fat fucking clown who helped rip me off, so fuck him.
I'm not a fan of Kevin Smith either, but he's got the third most popular podcast in the world, so he can't be ignored either.
You're very correct. You're very correct. The big clown has a big audience.
Exactly. So whether we like him or not, he's got a very sizable audience.
Very, very true.
But then you've got the people like Howard Stern think podcasting are for losers, and if you podcast, you're, quote, not good enough to be in real radio. like him.
But didn't he? He is a podcaster now, though, because he left radio and
satellite
to me is no different than internet radio. You still have to be logged into their system. Like if I was on DirecTV, you'd have to be a DirecTV customer to get those items. So in a way, that cocksucker's no different than us. Well, he's just making more money, a lot more money.
My point with the Howard Stern thing is he doesn't like podcasting because he sees it catching up to him. He sees podcasting as his real competition now. So that's why he's scared of it. He's trying to shut it down because it's his number one
competitor. He's trying to shut it down? What do you mean he's trying to shut it down? I haven't heard about this. What do you mean?
He's trying to disillusion people. He's trying to he's got this big what losers these people are. And, you know, his audience is so sheeple that they do anything Howard fucking Stern tells them to do.
Oh, well, I didn't know
about that. So if he tells them to not listen to something, they won't. Even if they did before. Because his audience is some of the most mindless fucking zombies I have ever seen.
Because of these changes in how they're handling the radio licensing fees for the next couple hour-long Heart Attacks, I'm going to be playing music from my friends' bands and bands that I have the legal right to use in my productions. So that's what I'm going to do. That's why there's no Iggy Pop song in the new Heart Attack. And there won't be for a while until we get this issue straightened out. Because it seems to me that what they're really talking about is they want to silence all of us having real conversations. Because as you talk about net neutrality or some issue where they're trying to gain control over the web, this issue where the FCC has now decided that the internet is a utility is quite frightening. It is truly frightening because, one, they have now opened it up so that the state can now have their own internet taxes. Then after the state, you could have your local city tax you. Then you're going to have them regulate content. That'll come next, guys. You watch. They're going to try to put a mandatory filter on our internet the way the United Kingdom's internet is censored. Ireland's internet is censored. Much of Europe's internet is censored. Russia, their internet heavily censored. So all these tools that were used to develop, Google helped, by the way, Google helped develop these tools for China to suppress their population and to suppress free political speech. Those tools are all coming back to America. And they are using these copyright ideas or these issues of radio licensing fees as a way to stop us, you and me, from all discussing the issues of the day. Because what are we doing? While they're watching us, we have turned around and we are watching them in a way that we've never been able to watch them before. We as a population in America and the world have never been able to communicate like this before. And it is having real results. The Arab Spring scared the shit out of the status quo. They are terrified of the web, and that's why you have so many corporate sock puppets with fake personas to steer the conversation on the web. This is why they're spending real money to water down free speech on the internet. They are terrified of you and I banding together and saying, you know what? We the people have decided that the DEA can no longer steal from us, that you can no longer just seize our money and keep it because you think it might have come from someplace bad.
I'm not sure if this is a good thing or not, but even Eric Holder, the attorney general, has said civil forfeiture has gotten so out of control, we're looking into this.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, guys. The DEA has been busted because one of the people they did is a DEA interdiction task force group. They've been seizing cash from travelers and then urging them to sign forms disclaiming their own cash and waiving their rights. It's called a cold consent encounter. And DEA agents stopped an African-American woman because she was pacing nervously before boarding her flight. After gaining her consent, the agent searched her luggage and found $8,000. A drug dog then alerted to the cash and the DEA seized it. The inspector general never stated if any drugs were ever found or if the woman was ever charged or convicted of a crime, but they just took the money and let the woman go. And that's what it's about, guys. They're just trying to take the money from us. They're just trying to take the truth from us. They're just trying to spy on us like crazy.
Not just us, though. They're also taking it from the drug cartels. DEA agents have been partying with prostitutes paid for by the drug cartels.
Oh, where'd you read that, dude? Crazy website?
The Washington Post.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Washington Post, huh?
Yep. That 10 different DEA agents in Colombia are under current investigation. Two have already been convicted, but there's 10 more under investigation. Having parties with prostitutes paid for by the drug cartels. And of course, the DEA agents are saying, we didn't know the drug cartels were paying for this. The hookers are saying, actually, we told them where we were from and why we were here. So it's systematic corruption.
It really is, Josh. I really think that that is the number one problem we have in this country, is we have systemic corruption from the top down. I say it all the time when people talk about police abuses. Forget about fighting with the man in blue. Go after the politician that's giving him his marching orders. Go after the politician that is writing the laws that enable that law enforcement agent to get out of control, because those guys have tough jobs. I just had to deal with a fix-it ticket. And, you know, the cops don't want to deal with that bullshit. These guys have got enough on their plate. We have got shootings and stabbings all over Highland Park. We just had another gang shooting about 7 blocks from my frickin' house. The violence is off the hook here. The police have real things to deal with. They don't have time to spy on people in their bank. They don't have time for bullshit. These guys got real jobs to do. And the ones that are ordering them and giving them all this militarized gear, giving them their marching orders, those are our elected politicians that we stop paying attention to. And it's time for us to start paying attention, because we, the people, run this fucking country. And it's time for us to start doing it. Dude, when you sent me this DEA agent sex parties thing, I'm like, again? Because we had the whole issue with the Secret Service being busted for their sex parties. And even worse, they were busted for not paying the hookers.
At least pay the poor woman.
Yeah, she's going to swallow your cum, motherfucker. You might as well give her your fucking money. Don't, like, screw her over twice, you fucking asshole. What kind of a dick is going to have a bunch of hookers come and do their job and then stiff them? On that note, folks, we have come to the end of another Heart Attack segment. Find me on Twitter, Heart_Fisher, or at Heart Attack Radio. Find the archives at 1201beyond.com or soundcloud.com/Heart Attack.
I'm bored. We'll be right back.
guys say if an 11-year-old girl was gang raped twice within a week and the police officers didn't want to do anything about it because, quote, she was just trying to hide her promiscuous behavior from her parents? She's 11, I might add. Would you guys say the cops really aren't doing their job? Have we really gotten to this point that an 11-year-old being gang raped twice in a week is promiscuous behavior?
Well, my first thought would be, what horrible foreign country are we talking about right now? And
Washington and, State.
Yeah, that one. An 11-year-old is so promiscuous. Yeah, like 11-year-old's version of being, oh, I'm having so much sex is like, I kissed a boy once by a locker. Getting gang raped is really kind of a big fucking deal.
And this wasn't a her word against theirs kind of thing. She had a rape kit done after the first one, and they found vaginal tears and bruising, indicating rape. So the police didn't want to do anything. A couple of days later, she was gang raped again by the same people. Again, the rape kit showed more vaginal tearing, this time anal tearing as well as more bruising. Again, the rape kit said rape. The police officers were just like, no, she's just hanging out with guys and doesn't want her parents to know. The police refused to arrest the boys in question because the boys said all the sex was consensual. She just likes it rough. Again, I'm going to point out she's fucking 11. God damn it.
Out of curiosity, how old are the boys in question?
Boys in question were between 14 and 17. Raping an 11-year-old, and then, oh, it was consensual. Even if the sex was consensual, why was it not statutory?
That would be my question, be like, it doesn't matter if she, even if she wanted it, which she clearly didn't, it would still be statutory. Like, there's no 11-year-old out there who is mature enough to make that kind of decision.
I think every state has a Steubenville.
You think this is the Steubenville for Washington?
It's the same kind of mentality. I don't think shit's going to change until we start insisting on better cops. Because that's all shit that a rapist would say when you think about it.
Well, because the cops actually questioned her for 4 hours and then jumping on every little inconsistency in her story as if they were trying to trap her in a lie is what her parents said. It was like they were trying to trap her in a lie. It was almost like going to the police. The police were like, we're going to find a way to make this your fault. You wonder why people don't report rape, huh?
What is the motive there?
Cops that don't want to do their jobs, or they don't want to get locked into a Steubenville situation, and they probably thought the parents wouldn't go to the fucking press. They went to the Washington Post instead. Oops.
Well, I certainly feel like now that they've gone to the Washington Post, somebody is probably going to lose their job over this. If we have any kind of luck at all.
How about a South Dakota gun vendor at the Sioux Falls Collector Classic Gun Show that was selling, quote, official running nigger targets for 10 cents each? They're paper targets of a cartoon black man in silhouette running from the police, and they're there to show for you to shoot at for targets. He is saying that the gun show is infringing on his First Amendment rights by saying he can't sell those there. I'm going to quote, why aren't they there? You know, there are some black people, and then there are some Negroes. I sold 500 of them this weekend, so what difference does it make? He's been banned from the gun show, and he's saying that they're stepping on his rights. Should this vendor have the right to sell official running nigger targets at a gun show?
I'm going to say no, he shouldn't, but he does. That's part of what free speech is. I mean, everybody is free to be as big of an asshole as they want to be. I think it would fall upon the public to not buy them, first of all.
He sold over 500 of them in the first day, so clearly the public wants them. That's a disturbing aspect, too.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, he does have the right. No, I don't think he should have the right. It's just shitty people being shitty, and because of freedom, they're allowed to do it. It happens every day, man.
Should we have expected better out of South Dakota?
Hell no. Well, I don't know. The thing about conventions, though, is that you sign a contract to sell your wares there. So this gun show would have standards that you have to meet in order for you to sell something there. Even though you have the right to sell this stuff, the convention says, no, you can't sell that at our location, then you have to obey that rule. That's not infringing on your First Amendment rights. It's a privately owned company deciding that this is not a behavior that they welcome. And either you can obey that behavior or you can find yourself a new place to sell your wares.
You can fuck off.
Earlier, you said the gun show would have to have standards. That kind of stuck out for me.
Okay, so true story. I have worked at anime conventions for like a long time now, and we were once booked in a hotel against a gun show. And if you've never seen like men in flannel and camo looking at furries going, what the hell is going on? It's an experience. But honestly, they were all quite nice. Like, we didn't have any problems with them. Some of them bought tickets and came in and saw our show. Like, it was very strange.
So did each side teach the other side a little something, maybe?
I think we all learned a very valuable lesson.
There's a lot long shaft-like barrel objects in this room, too.
We couldn't decide who was better armed because they weren't allowed to put bullets into their guns. And we had fake weapons, but they looked real enough and they were all sort of weird. And anyway,
I think a gun blade and an actual gun are not the same thing, Kat.
Yes, but they weren't allowed to load theirs and they don't know anything about us. So like they don't know that it's not real. Well, if they know anything about guns, they know it's probably not real, but still.
Okay, a gun blade is one of the most impractical weapons ever. It might look cool, but it's impractical as hell.
So what you had there were two seemingly disparate groups of people united by their abundance of disposable income.
Speaking of gun nuts, let's go to Detroit. Two Michigan gun rights activists walked into the Lampier High School last week, carrying one had a rifle slung over his back and another had a pistol on his hip, just walked into the school, which caused the school to go into lockdown. And now they're saying, no, 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 I'm a good guy with a gun. They don't like the fact that me walking onto school property carrying assault weapons, why should that send you into lockdown? Open carry, motherfuckers. Gee, I wonder why that sent the school into lockdown. And it also shows how open carry is fucking stupid.
Open carry is fucking stupid. People are just being unreasonable for the sake of being unreasonable. They're just rubbing it in the faces of everyone that has a problem with guns that they have the ability to commit murder at all times. And needing that ability to commit murder at all times is the root of the problem. So far, no one's gotten to that. But open carry certainly is not helping.
Usually when open carry people feel like they want to take their guns everywhere, they go to Chipotle or something, or bar, and then they shoot off their ass. But it's sort of like school is like this holy ground where like you just don't fuck with schools because people will do anything and everything to protect children. Like we worship at the altar of, you know, like we have to protect these kids and these schools and all this stuff. And it's so important to protect children. And you'd think that there would be some logic of going, okay, we have a shit ton of school shootings in this country. In order to not cause a panic and not have the police called on my ass, I should probably not take my gun into a school. But these are people who don't understand that what they're doing is problematic to other people. They think, I have this freedom. Everybody should respect that I have this freedom and I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want with this freedom. It just doesn't apply in schools. You don't have freedom in schools. That's something that they teach you in school is once you walk into the school, you don't have freedom anymore. You are under a different set of rules because schools are special. Schools are different. It's not the same as walking into a Chipotle. And coming from someone who, like, we had some woods around my high school, and there would be dudes walking through the woods with guns on a fairly regular basis. And it wasn't even like hunting woods. It was just like, here's some dude wandering around with a gun. And now we have to completely put the school on lockdown. And now all of these police cars are here and everything is disrupted. And that is the appropriate response to someone with a gun. That is what you should be doing.
Not apparently to Sean Nixon of Royal Oak, Michigan. He says he has every right to be here. The police, and this is all caught on video, say the school administrators do not want you here. You do not have a right to open carry here. He says, I have an open carry permit and a concealed weapon permit. I have every right to be here. They say, the administrators do not. You cannot do this on school property. And Nixon finally tells the officer, quote, my issue is I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 armed men following me now. You are violating my rights. See, he's the victim because the cops are following him because he carried a rifle slung over his shoulder and a semi-automatic pistol onto school grounds, and he's the victim of police profiling. Do you think this motherfucker is just waiting for some confrontation? In a year, we're going to see him on the news having a shootout with the police?
I just want this guy to ask himself, just throughout his whole life, how many times has he been accused of not respecting somebody's lifestyle? And now that's what he's doing.
Okay, how about we go to our friend Michelle Fiore? Remember her from a couple of weeks ago? She's the one who thought you could that cancer was a fungus and you could cleanse it out of your body. Remember her, Kat?
Oh, yeah, that one. If we must.
Racism does not exist anymore. We have a black president, and we have blacks heading schools and legal organizations. We're in 2015, we have a black president, in case you didn't notice. So the color and race issue, I think it's time we put that to rest. We need to stop playing the race card. Is racism really over because we have a black president? Or is Michelle Fiore just dumber than she was on cancer?
I just had to mute my microphone and bang my head into a wall for a few seconds. I didn't want everybody to have to hear that with me, because it brings me closer to unconsciousness. A person who has never experienced racism does not get to decide if racism exists or not. I've never been to the moon, but I know that the moon is real.
It's really made of cheese.
It's really delicious. We're going to get a spaceship and go up there and get some crackers, and it'll be great.
Now, why do you have to bring race into it? What do white people on the moon have to do with anything?
Something else that you put cheese on. I'll get some bread. Some white bread.
See, you can't avoid race, can you?
Some toast points.
Oh, God. No, this is just... I'm assuming she's white. Is she white? Please tell me she's white. Otherwise, I'm going to sound like an asshole.
She's very white.
Okay, so this is just some white woman who has never experienced racism directed at her, trying to tell other people who are white that racism doesn't exist, because obviously she's pandering to a certain party of people, conservatives, who generally tend to be of the pasty variety, who, again, haven't experienced racism. If you have never experienced something, how do you know that it's truly there? Like, that's the mentality of people that she's trying to play off to. Like, I've never seen it, so it must not be there.
Well, also, it's the majority saying that the minority doesn't exist, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, it's saying, well, look, we know stuff because we're well-educated white people, and we don't see this, so you guys are just making a mountain out of a molehill. And meanwhile, there's somebody out there who can't get a job because of the color of his skin. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think the day after Obama was elected, a lot of racists said, oh man, thank God we can stop doing that. Like, I don't think that ended racism. I don't think anything is going to end racism while there are still racists. And at this point, like, I'm starting to think that's part of the human condition. There's always going to be racist. There's always going to be someone who has justified some reason to hate a different race of people, either religion or, well, okay, probably just religion. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that, because I live in a small liberal town in Colorado. I am surrounded by white people acting cooler than they really are. Like I'm surrounded by white people who overcompensate their non-racism. Do you know what I mean?
So then, does that not then overcorrect into kind of racism?
It's not racism. It's ignorance. It's I don't know. It's harmless cluelessness, I think.
Their hearts are in the right place.
Well,
yeah, their heart is in the right place. I mean, it's awkward. Like when my friend Sky, when he met my mom at a show of mine, she like hugged him like three times in the first 5 minutes of meeting him. It's just it's weird. Their heart is in the right place.
Well, you want to know what's not in the right place? God is now responsible for ending slavery, not Abraham Lincoln. Thomas Dunn, a city council member in Virginia, was having a debate with Philip Thompson, the London County leader of the London County chapter of the NAACP. Thompson said, this is the NAACP guy, if the government hadn't intervened, I would still be a slave in the field picking cotton. Dunn said, and I'm quoting, Shame on you, Mr. Thompson, for throwing slavery into this discussion. There are people who feel that government is supposed to be the answer to everything. And Mr. Thompson, I don't believe that government freed our slaves we had in this country. That was an evil that this country had. It was the hand of God touching the hearts of man that freed those slaves. Jesus said, I give you one commandment, and that is to love one another. Could have said, go out and create a diversity commission, but he didn't. I'm an attorney, and this is basic constitutional law. The 13th Amendment ended slavery, Thompson retorted. I thought it was just a callous, dismissive remark. What do you guys think? Did God end slavery, or was that the government?
Well, I mean, what with Moses being one of the founding fathers, it seems pretty plausible to me.
But that's in Texas. This is in Virginia.
I do expect a little bit better out of Virginia, but should we?
God ended slavery by touching the hearts of man. Yes, that's why after ending slavery, God didn't give them equal rights, and they weren't a full person, and Jim Crow laws, and lynchings, and have I made my point yet?
Well, this is, again, like, people who don't see a problem, therefore denying that the problem exists. Like, God did this, because, yeah, like, no, totally, we would never really do that, right?
There's too much delusional bullshit for me to even decode here, so I'm just gonna tell a joke here, hoping that this guy is listening to this episode and hears this joke. If you need directions to the Grand Canyon, you should ask Jesus. He knows that place like the back of his hand. A good evening, friend.
Thank you, Michigan Jay. Obviously, the man who said this was a Republican. I shouldn't have had to point that out. We're gonna end tonight's show talking about Republican extremism. Because we've got a couple of here. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the day we're recording this is the day before Senator Ted Cruz officially is going to throw his hat in as running for president, okay? So Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is running for president. He recently scared the shit out of a fourth grade class by telling in New Hampshire, by telling them that their world is on fire. This class was able to pass a symbolic bill for New Hampshire about what animal symbol New Hampshire should have. And they chose an eagle with raging talons. Representative Warren Grove, stumping with Ted Cruz here, told them that actually, it grasps them with its talons, then uses its razor-sharp beak to basically tear it apart limb from limb. I guess the shame about making this a state bird is that it would serve as a much better mascot for Planned Parenthood. Need I point out this is a fourth grade class of 9 and 10-year-olds. What the fuck, Republicans?
Well, it's never too early to start shoving abortion propaganda down their throats. That's the way Ted Cruz rolls. I don't know. I can't believe we're going to have like another election. Like this shit is going to start again.
Happens every 4 years, price we pay, dude.
There's no incumbency this time. I mean, we're going to get double the shit we got last time.
I don't know. Ted Cruz actually has a chance if the Democrats run Hillary because she's a fucking disaster as well, but that's
Ted
a whole
Cruz
different show.
Ted Cruz does not have a chance. Ted Cruz, he does not have a chance in hell of winning the nomination. I mean, we only hear about this shit because this is the kind of stuff that you've developed yourself to sift, to sniff out. Like, with the constant flow of news that we all get now, this is the stuff that we hear about. But, I mean, Ted Cruz has way too narrow of a constituency to win an election.
Politicians have trained themselves so much to turn literally anything into a political maneuver that they can't even help themselves now. It's second nature. They just have to, no matter who they're in front of, they have to turn everything into a political statement about whatever bullshit propaganda they're spouting this week.
That's why they are just the worst fucking people that live. Politicians, they are so used to just trying to be liked by every fucking buddy that they meet all the time. They have no personality. They have no beliefs of their own. Their entire life is just one big fucking pandering session. And they are the only people that run. So they're the only people that we can vote for. The only people that run to do the job that requires the most, you know, strength of character and idealistic people, they're never going to get them because those people don't run for jobs like that. It's a broken system.
But what about Glenn Beck? Now, we might all dismiss Glenn Beck as a nut, but Glenn Beck is insanely rich and insanely powerful. He gives a lot of money. Let me rephrase that. Gave a lot of money. Glenn Beck is no longer a Republican. He will no longer support them, and he will no longer give them any money. Why? The Republican Party is not conservative enough for Glenn Beck anymore. This is not evil enough. I've made my decision. I'm out. I'm out of the Republican Party. I'm not a Republican. I will not give a dime to the Republican Party. I'm out. I highly recommend run from the Republican Party. They are no good. They ran and they said they were going to do all of these great things and they were going to stand against Obamacare and illegal immigration. They set us up. Enough is enough. They're torpedoing the Constitution and they're doing it knowingly. They're taking on people like Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and they're torpedoing them knowingly. So I'm done with them. 4 years ago, I was with them. 4 years ago, I said, work from the inside. Let's change it. Let's get new guys in there before it's too late. Let's really turn this country into something good. What does that say if the evil sons of bitches we've been talking about are not evil enough? Do you think we might actually have an American Nazi Party or the equivalent running in 2016? Because again, we dismissed Glenn Beck. He's worth like $70 million, which he has to throw away at this shit. He actually could play spoiler in this. Is this a civil war within the Republican Party that actually could make a difference in the real world?
Not really, because that party is eventually going to implode upon itself anyway. It's such a self-destructive party because eventually the more moderate Republicans are going to see that the Republican Party has become excessively, absurdly conservative, and they're just going to jump overboard and either vote Democrat or not vote at all. And I think we learned that when Obama won twice, that they set themselves up for destruction.
Well, then there's also the fact that the conservative Christian movement is telling people to flee the country now, literally before Obama, quote, destroys this country we love so much. They're telling people to flee to Canada and England and other countries because this is no longer America. Quote, there may be a year remaining in which you can get out and save your family. I'm convinced the Luciferian Illuminatus that control this country will dismantle it over the next 2 years, and the Phoenix will ascend to replace the old constitutional republic, unquote. No, wow. Kev, that's a quote.
The most beautiful thing.
I didn't make that up. I read that as it was, and I almost stumbled over Luciferian Illuminatus, too, because I don't think I've ever said those two words out loud before.
I mean, clearly not enough, Jesus, because Luciferian Illuminatus.
I wish I had made that up.
They really just can't stand the fact that there's a black person in office. I mean, you could put like any old liberal there, but they would not be this level of insane hatred for the president.
If all Republicans fled the country, they would eventually run out of countries with white people in them.
Plus, they would get really upset when they realized they go to these other places that have universal health care and all the stuff that they hate so much.
I'm going to say this to American Christians. Your time to flee America, which is now Babylon, is quickly disappearing. Obama will destroy this nation too. He is a man of destruction, darkness, and evil. The 12 election, I think he means 2012, he had a vision of black ubiquitous membranes descending on America to suffocate the people. I saw in my spirit a wicked, evil, dark vapor spreading across America. You tell me that that's not his straight of, I don't want to live in a place where black people are a majority.
Oh my God. This guy should write dialogue for video games or comic books or something, because this is genius.
That is some epic level shit. It really is, though.
I was going to say, I think Glenn Beck should blow a black guy, like anonymously on Craigslist, whatever you got to do. But I think that act would balance all this insanely misguided racist homoerotic fury within him.
I don't know if I can follow that. Any final thoughts, Kat?
No, nobody can follow that because it's true.
All right, then where can people find Kat, the only one here who actually works, Thompson?
Well, if you ever want to meet me in real life, you can find me in a parking lot with police surrounding me.
Thought you were avoiding Craigslist.
Well, like, no, but I mean, that's where I live. So, but if you want to find me on the social medias, you could find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And I've actually been getting a lot of likes lately, so it's kind of weird. Creepy stalker people. And no, you can find
those
me
are
on...
called, those are called listeners, not creepy stalker people.
Oh, is that what that's about? Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure because I get about equal amounts of both. You can find me on my other show, Thespian Talk, over on artygomer.com. And then you can find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on Channel Awesome and This Week in Geek and on iTunes.
Where can people find Michigan J. Frog? Only when they're not looking, though.
In their dreams. When they are looking, in their nightmares. And Twitter and Facebook and geekjuicemedia.com.
And you can find me, which is both dreams and nightmares, I would guess, depending on who you are and what side you're on, at 1201beyond.com. You can go there and buy a t-shirt or click on some ads or something. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And if you're a Republican, I want to know, please write to us. Is Glenn Beck right? Do you think your party has abandoned you? I honestly want to know. I'm not saying this in a snide way. Charlie would, but I'm not. Have a good night, guys.
Yes. Is Glenn Beck right, or is Charlie McMullen right? Would one ebony dick set him straight?
Hey, all cum is white.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.